In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning. It's so good to see so many of you here. We are allowed under the new dictates, 99 persons in here. We're not there yet, but if we ever get anywhere close, you can sit next to here in the front. Mr. Dean is pretty awesome, but he's got an awesome beard. So go ahead and sit next to him, and any way over here, you can keep plenty of social distancing there. And if we run out of space here in the pews down here, you know, you can always go up into the choir loft. We can fit. I measured a long time ago. It was at least 15 there. Maybe it was 20. I can't remember. But check that out. You're always welcome up there. There's plenty of room. The air is clear up there. One thing to announce. Today is the day when we begin our catechetical year for our young men and women who are continuing or beginning their studies for confirmation. That's these ones who are here in the front row, and some of them are scattered all throughout as well. Pray for these ones who are here right now. It was good to hear your voices, see how some of them have changed and become more who you are at this time. I did not recognize your voice at all. I had to do a double take to see Danae again. Something changed. Really good things. Also keep in prayer young Nicolette. This week she celebrated her birthday. Nicolette Gonzalez Raleo. I'm sure you had a good time. I tried to make it out. Couldn't make it. I was stopped on the way, but God is with you all. We continue in prayer. Pray the rosary. Pray the rosary. Pray the rosary. That's what we're doing at this time. Our young ones are leading us in that courageously forward in this direction. There's so much unrest. There's so much difficulty in our nation, in our streets, in our world, but in our families. And so we go to Our Lady, who is our 12-star general, and she knows exactly how to lay things straight and make sure that the evil one is destroyed. The most powerful weapon that we have in the church is Our Lady's rosary. Our Lady's rosary. Take it up. Join the fight. 54 days. If you've missed some of those days, that's fine. Join with us wherever you are. Pray the rosary every day in your family. There's power untold. But I will tell you some of it in just a few moments. See what our Lord has to say. Romans chapter 7, our second reading, says, none of us lives for oneself, none of us dies for oneself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So then whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. For this is why Christ died and came to life, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Forget to thank all of you who are joining us through the means of the radio, those who are there with us, those who are homebound, our men in the prison. Thank you. We know you can't be here with us, but you're with us in a mystical way, which is stronger than a physical presence. Pray the rosary every day. Pray the rosary for the living and the dead. Pray the rosary for those who do not pray. Pray for the rosary who at this very day are on their way to death, that it may be a blessed and holy death. Because whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. And those who pray the rosaries, Our Lady said, will not suffer the second death. A priest was sharing with me not too long ago. He was telling me a story of an English woman who he encountered in his parish who was speaking about an aunt of hers. Her aunt was Catholic and her uncle was an Anglican. And this is their story of what happened in their life. They were joined together in this mixed marriage, which is always a bit difficult. What they purposed from the very beginning of their marriage is that this Catholic woman would lead her husband in praying of the rosary every single night of their marriage. Continue to bless it that way. Until one day when the First World War broke out across all of Europe at the death of the murder, the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand. And so this husband was called into battle. And as he was on his way, the very night that he was to leave, this woman, Catholic woman, went to her husband and said, here, this is your rosary. Take it with you. And he said, my dear wife, I will carry it with me wherever it is I go, no matter where I am in battle. And she said, that's not good enough. Pray the rosary. We have to pray our rosary every day. Pray with me. And he looked at her and he said, woman, you know that I'm not Catholic, but I will try to pray the rosary as best I can whenever the chance allows me. About a month after he had engaged in the battle, she received a letter from a Catholic chaplain in France, a French chaplain who wrote her a letter. And this is what he wrote. He said, dear woman, I found your husband one day on a stretcher. He'd been riddled with machine gun fire, and I noticed that he had a rosary hanging out of his front pocket, so I tried to bring in the sacraments. I assumed he was Catholic when I arrived, and he assured me that he wasn't. But I'm writing to tell you, dear daughter, that he's in Our Lady's good hands. Forgot to mention a second ago that the woman, seeing that her husband was not firm in praying the rosary, said, I will pray two rosaries. I'll pray my rosary every day, and I will pray his rosary every day on his behalf. This is the faithfulness of this woman. She had the greatest act of charity, which is what? To pray for the salvation, to labor for the salvation of others, to seek their highest good. Not a good that gets them by through today, but a good that ultimately ends in heaven. The highest good of the soul. The reason why God made you. 2 months after this first letter was received by this woman, a second letter came in, again from the same French Catholic chaplain, and he told her that her husband had died. But there was more in the letter. She said, but dear woman, I visited daily your husband these past 2 months. I wanted to win his soul for Christ because he was a non-Catholic who held Our Lady's hand. He was referring to the rosary. He went on to say, dear woman, before your husband died, he made a Catholic profession of faith. I received him into the church. I gave him the very body of our Christ and the Blessed Sacrament. I confirmed him with Holy Chrism and heard his last confession. And as he was leaving this life, I gave him his last sacraments. I thank you for your unfailing charity, for not giving up on him, for commending him to our mother. Your unfailing charity in entrusting the rosary to your husband has won his soul for Christ. The rosary, this rosary, has been the instrument of his salvation. And she found also in that letter the rosary, which was in his pocket. He went on to tell her exactly where she would be able to find his grave if she were to ever journey here to France where he was laid to rest. She did. She went there as soon as she could when the war ended, took a photo of that grave. This young woman who was telling the story to my priest friend showed him the photo, and he took it and said, "Could I have it to have a copy?" And he keeps that with him everywhere he goes, always in his wallet, to daily remind him of the power, the saving power of Our Lady's Rosary. This woman had true charity for her husband, true love for her husband, because she wasn't content to leave him just as he was, but she wanted him to get to heaven in the only way that surely could go there, the only certain way to die as a Catholic, to die with the sacraments. All of her prayers were offered for him. She made him take Our Lady's hand, the rosary, which became the very instrument of his salvation. Charity, brothers and sisters, it begins at home. It starts with those who are closest to us, those we see every day, our family. Do we take that? Do we pray for their salvation every day? Do we seek their highest good every day? Or do we pretend, well, it doesn't matter because God loves everybody? The reading said God is gracious and merciful beyond anything we can understand. He desires the salvation of all, so why should I worry about laboring for the salvation? God will just save them anyway because he's so good. The problem is that's not charity. That's not love. Why? Because it's not true. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us what real charity, real love is. St. Paul says charity is patient. Charity doesn't envy. Charity doesn't deal in perverse ways. It is not proud. Charity is not ambitious. It doesn't seek merely its own good. It is not provoked to anger easily. It thinks no evil, but rather it rejoices not in sinful living, but rejoices only in the following of that which is true. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Charity never fails. Charity never gives up. How do we keep this charity and maintain it within our souls? The scriptures tell us it's by following the Ten Commandments. Our blessed Lord in his life said, if you love me, then do what? Obey my commandments. Obey my commandments. What does that do? It keeps us within the state of grace. It keeps sanctifying grace within our souls. What's sanctifying grace? Sanctifying grace is, as we know, the supernatural ability, a supernatural quality within the soul, a power that makes us share in God's own divine life in our very selves. It gives us friendship with God. Friendship with God, because without sanctifying grace, nobody can make it to heaven. And so how do we maintain that relationship, that friendship with God, that sanctifying grace within our souls? Answer simple. Pray for it. Our Lord wants you to have it more than you do. The children of Fatima, they asked one by one, Lucia, Jacinta, Francisco, will I make it to heaven? Will she make it to heaven? Will he make it to heaven? And when they asked about Francisco, Our Lady said, yes, he will make it to heaven. But first, he must pray many rosaries. He spent the rest of his life from that moment on doing nothing but praying the rosary. He wanted to make it to heaven. Our Lady of Fatima said, the sins of the world are very great. If men only knew what eternity is, they would do everything within their power in order to change their lives. The rosary does that. Praying the rosary helps us to change our lives. In fact, it changes the world, and we'll talk about that in the weeks to come. Our Blessed Mother Mary made many promises to us about the rosary. She said, the rosary will cause virtue and good works to flourish. It will obtain for souls the abundant mercy of God. It will draw hearts of men from the love of those world and its vanities which pass to lift them up to the desire of eternal things which endure forever. She says that whoever will recite my holy rosary devoutly will never be conquered by any misfortune which they endure in life. She says God will not chastise them in the anger of his justice, but whoever shall have true devotion to the rosary shall not perish without the sacraments of the church, even in a time of pandemic like ours. All these are the promises of Our Lady. Our Lady can't lie. She always keeps her promises. What is the rosary? The rosary is often called Our Lady's Psalter. It's Our Lady's Psalm book, Book of Psalms. Why? It's because there are 150 psalms in the Bible. And priests and religious, we pray those psalms every single day. The priest makes it through it every week, all 150. And it's called Our Mary Psalter because why? There are 150 beads, 150 Hail Marys in there, one for each of the psalms. We pray in the five decades of the rosary. And this allows you as the faithful not to figure out the complications of the divine office of the priest and the religious pray, but to be able to pray in the simplicity with Our Lady guiding you every step. Where does the rosary come from? It was in the year 1214 that the Pope commanded St. Dominic, the founder of the Dominican Order, to go and to preach so that those heretics, the Albigensians, might convert and find true faith and salvation. What is the Albigensian heresy? We'll get to that in a couple weeks, but it's basically the modern New Age movement, the same thing. And so what he did, St. Dominic went out to preach, but he was making no headway in France where he was preaching. The heretics were not converting. And so he retired to the forest outside Toulouse to pray and to fast 3 days and three nights. In fact, he even went to the point of beating his own flesh with a scourge so that he may endure suffering that these ones were enduring but they did not feel. And when he finally came to the point of drawing blood and scourging of himself, Our Lady appeared to St. Dominic. And she said to him, my dear Dominic, do you know what, in this kind of warfare, what weapon the Holy Trinity desires you to use for the salvation of the world? St. Dominic said, Mother, you know better than I. So Our Lady said, I want you to know that in this kind of warfare, the battering ram has always been the angelic psalter. That's the Hail Mary. The angelic psalter has always been the battering ram, which is the foundation stone of the New Testament. Therefore, if you want to reach those hardened souls and win them over to God, preach my psalter, my rosary. And so he arose from that moment, inspired by the zeal, and went directly into the cathedral. As he was going there, the angels went and rung the church bells. And everybody came out when the church bells came and went inside the church because something important must be going on. When the people got inside the church, what happened was that a mighty storm broke up. The winds began to blow everything around. There were flashes and peals of thunderous lightning. But even more so, not only did the earth shake, but also everybody was in fear. Why? Because they looked there at the image of Our Lady in the sanctuary. And there she was, physically moving her arms up. and bringing them down three times, showing the divine wrath upon humanity if they would not convert, if they would not turn to go underneath her mantle of protection. And so at this, St. Dominic began to pray. And when he began to pray, what happened? The storm ceased. And the ceasing of the storm, as peace came upon the place, he began to preach the devotion of the Most Holy Rosary. He preached it so fervently, so compellingly, so ardently did he preach the Holy Rosary that the people in that time gave up their false beliefs and began coming back to the Catholic Church to live good and Christian lives. Our Lady's Holy Rosary is divided into three sets of mysteries. Pope Leo XIII, who wrote 13 encyclicals just on the Holy Rosary in his life, wrote this. He said, these mysteries, they recall the great mysteries of Jesus and Mary as they are united in their joys, in the sorrows, and the triumphs of this life. The soul is filled with gratitude and love for these proofs of divine love. It becomes enlarged. Its desire is increased for those things which Christ has prepared for such as have united themselves to our blessed Lord Jesus in imitation of his example and in the participation of his sufferings. By repeating these mysteries and meditating upon them, we more deeply become entrenched within the truths of our faith in the depths of our souls, so that we can more perfectly persevere in charity and live out the Ten Commandments. A little further in the same encyclical, Pope Leo says, the contemplation of these great mysteries, contemplated in their order, allows faithful souls who have to have a wonderful confirmation of their faith, a protection against the disease of error, and increases the strength of the soul to continue in the way of perfection, to find heaven. These prayers which are found in the Holy Rosary, what are they? They're the strength, they're the safeguard, they're the support of salvation of souls. When we recite the Rosary, what prayers do we pray? We pray the Creed, and that reminds us of the truths of the faith that we repeat. We are constantly repeating the message of God that he spoke through his messenger, St. Gabriel, the archangel, when he said, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. We conclude with those words which were spoken by St. Elizabeth to Our Lady, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Then we also repeat that sacred prayer which our Lord taught himself when his disciples asked, How should we pray? In the Our Father. The Rosary is not made or come up with by man at all. Everything is supernatural in its ordering. So many of the Protestants will say, well, that's just a vain repetition. Why do you say these things over and over and over again? That's what God urges us against. False. Scripture has lots of beautiful repetition in it. One example, there are many. Psalm 135 or 136. Look it up in your Bibles. It says over and over again, the repetition of the word after every line, His mercy endures forever 27 times in a row. There are others that say it even more times, over and over again. Why? The reason is because it emphasizes the firmness and the endlessness of the mercy of God that we need to hear over and over again so we can believe it and grasp onto it. This is the very reason why the Rosary emphasizes for us all these things. It gives us confidence in God and His loving and merciful Father every time we pray our Father. It emphasizes the purity, the power, the majesty of Our Lady every time we pray the Hail Mary. The Creed reminds us of all those things which we believe which lead us to salvation. And that glory be, which we conclude all things with every mystery, with that glory be, tells us that whatever mystery, difficulty, suffering, joy that we're going through in our life, all of it, no matter what it is, glory be to He who is Father, He who is Son, He who is Holy Spirit, in all things, because He's the end of all. See, an exorcist came and spoke to me. The exorcist of the diocese, when I spoke to him about this, he said, he told me that the devils admit that they hate the Rosary. They can't stand being in the presence of Our Lady's Rosary, because it is the treasury of all of God's graces. Many sinners owe their conversion to the Rosary. The Rosary, it possesses the power to banish sin and restore the sinner back to the state of grace. It has the power to guide us in virtue and allow us to fulfill all of the Ten Commandments, no matter how we struggle with individual ones. It has the power to comfort us in the midst of our sorrows and give us consolation in the midst of whatever affliction we're going through. It has the power to bring us back to find the true love, the charity of God. It is through the Rosary, yes, that God's wrath is averted and souls are snatched out of the hand of the devil. It's through the Rosary that we can live out perfect charity and love. A charity and love that always has to begin at home with those who are closest to us and then move out to the community and world at large from there. I'll close with the words of blessed Pope Pius IX. He's teaching about the Rosary. This is what he said. He said, let the Rosary, this simple, beautiful method of prayer, enriched by so many indulgences by the Church, let it be habitually recited every evening in every household. These are my last words that I give you. Let this be the memorial which I leave behind me in this life, in the whole of the Vatican. There is no greater treasury than that of Our Lady's Most Holy Rosary. In the whole of the Vatican, despite its great riches, there is no greater treasure than that of Our Lady's Rosary. Because Our Lady's Rosary opens up the entirety of the treasuries of the Church, not for an earthly gain, but for eternal blessedness with God. Pray the Rosary. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.